Hello everyone, thank you for listening to Barely Mexican. My name is Miguel Garcia. Today I am sitting here with my lovely mother, the one who gave birth to me. Honestly, I'm not really sure she did give birth to me. I have a theory that she kidnapped me. She stole me from a hospital, but that's for another podcast. Say hi, Mom.
Hello.
How's it going?
Going good.
So, in previous episodes, I went ahead and I talked about, like, my upbringing and everything like that and why it is that I have mental breakdowns every 24 seconds. So I was like, well, who better to bring on the podcast than my mother? So, to get started, I'm going to play a little game of see how well you know your child.
Okay.
So, Mom, what was my least favorite chore growing up?
Yeah, all of them.
True, that was a trick question. I'm glad you got that. Because
you one messy pig.
True, literally, till this day, I'm still a slob. Like,
legit. Like, you.
That's literally why we're sitting in her living room and not mine, because my house is, like, gross.
Yes. We literally, the other day, me and Gabriel went to go visit, and we took out 3 bags of trash. Like, not, like, of, like, trash, but, like, of, like,
fast food trash.
There was pizza boxes, there was McDonald's, there was, like, all kinds of, I was so, like, what the hell.
Well, now that everybody knows I'm a slob, mm-hmm. Let's see, I had another question. No, I can't remember.
You didn't write them down?
No.
See how organized you are? No wonder you have breakdowns every 20 minutes.
Exactly. What was my favorite book when I was little?
The Foot Book from Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, that's so crazy. That I was telling Ryan that, like, which is my friend. I was telling my friend that I was like, yeah, I used to love that book, which is super weird because feet gross me the fuck out.
Yeah, he used to walk around with, I bought him a set of Dr. Seuss's books because I wanted to raise a smart child and read to him.
That didn't work out too well.
Well, he is very smart, intelligent-wise, common sense.
I think she's just lying because she knows people on the internet are going to hear this.
No, anything, but he loves to read. Bottom line, kid reads for fun.
Well, yeah, because we didn't have a TV growing up.
That's true.
All right, so now we're going to get to the serious questions, which I did write down. Hold up. So, as I mentioned in a previous episode, I was raised by a single mom. She did her best. I mean, we've had our ups and downs. We didn't always get along. It's partly because my mom's a Gemini and can flip a switch on a dime. So, if there's any eligible bachelors out there who likes to keep things spiced up, here's my mom. So, Mom, what was the hardest part of being a single mom with 2 kids? What would you say that would be?
Time.
What do you mean by that?
Having to work 2 jobs, come home, clean the house, run errands, grocery shop, bill pay. And then there would be times that I just wanted to spend time with you guys. And there was no time because, you know, part of being a mom is making sure you have a roof over your head, you know, food in your belly, you know, the lights on, being warm and, you know, cool in the summer. So all that takes time and priority. And so I think one of the hardest things is at work, taking care of people with mental disabilities. We have to take them out in the community, and then you would be at the park with them, you know, entertaining them and doing things with them, you know, working. That's what your job was entitled to. And then you would see these moms that were out there working out with their little babies in the stroller. Well, you know, a lot of us single mothers were working, watching all that. I think that was the hardest thing, was not having enough time to spend with you guys.
And what made all of that easier? Like, what, like, made you power through it? Like, what made you say, fuck it, I'm gonna, like, power through this and raise these boys the best I can instead of just being like, LOL, I'm just going to get a part-time job somewhere and live off the government for the rest of my life. Mm. Granted, if you guys do that, there's nothing wrong with that. But
I think it's because of the way I was brought up. We grew up dirt poor where, you know, and on government assistance. So a lot of times at the end of the month, there wasn't enough going around. You know, when my mom got sick of cancer, and I think, thank God we had some landlords that were very kind to us, and she wasn't able to pay her rent for 6 months. I don't know, I don't really remember the circumstances of why she couldn't pay her rent, but we were on government assistance at the time, and she eventually paid them back. And I think they allowed some of the money to go, but just seeing her struggle a lot, and she wasn't very, my mom wasn't very, she worked on and off throughout the years that I lived with her. So not being able to just go down and to the store and get a soda or to buy what we need when we needed it, that was really hard. Or even to participate in any sports. I remember one time I wanted to play basketball, and it was like $25 for the, what is it called, the physical. Mm-hmm. And anything, and she didn't have it, so it was really heartbreaking that, you know, we lost out on a lot, and I didn't want that for my kids. So, you know, I made one sacrifice for another. And
then she forced a fat kid to play baseball, and who got hit in the face with I don't know how many baseballs.
No, and I think I wanted you guys to have a normal, as normal life, or quote unquote, as normal life as possible. I don't want you guys to struggle.
Right.
Financially. Yes, there would be times that money did get tight, but you guys were well taken care of, and that was my main concern, and that's what's always been my main concern. So,
If you could go back, would you do anything different? Like, would you, like, work less, per se, or would you work harder?
The only thing is I do regret, I guess, is not finishing school. Mm-hmm. I think if I would have finished school and got a degree, I probably wouldn't have been working as much and been able to have some time, but I wasn't able to finish my degree. And I think the only way I knew how to put food on the table was to work, and that became a priority. And
oh, I used to love it. She used to work for McDonald's for years, you guys, and like literally apple pies all the time. Like literally there's apple pies. I ate apple pies until I was sick. But so I have a question. How did you meet my father, and explain to what you had told me? Like, I don't know, like, well, first of all, explain how you met my father. Like, because I know you met him at a party or something, right?
Well, it wasn't really a party. We, I went to go see my sister and anything, and she was seeing these guys, and he just happened to be in the group with the guys. There was only, like, 3 or 4 of them, and it was me and my sister and I think somebody else. And, yeah, your dad was next to me, and he kept telling my sister, which is your tia, that how pretty I was and how pretty I was and anything. And then my sister was like, don't tell her that, she hates it when people tell her she's pretty and anything. So,
which is so weird, because I literally like will be like, oh mom, you're so pretty, and then you light up
and anything. And then so I don't know, he just started talking to me and anything, and like next thing you know, just he kissed me, and one thing led to another, and eventually, well, it didn't all happen like in one night. He took him a long time.
Oh, so you were in a wham bam thank you
no
ma'am.
No, not at all. It took him I guess about I don't know. It took him a while. Like 6 months before. 6 months. Like we did anything. Yeah, it was a while.
Okay. So you got pregnant at a really young age. You got pregnant at 17.
Yes.
Which is now more common, mm-hmm. I believe, nowadays. I mean, they have, you know, TV shows about it and everything like that. So you told me, and I'll let you explain this because I don't think I can explain it that well. But you told me, well, apparently, for one, I was conceived in the back of a station wagon. So that fun fact, you guys. And for two, I had asked, I was like, well, did you not know what birth control was or what conception was or contraception was? And you, what was your answer to that? Do you remember?
I do, but I was just messing with you.
I doubt that. You were so serious. So, guys, her answer to that was like, well, did you not know what, like, birth control was or anything like that? And she was like, well, I just didn't think it would happen to me. And so, and then several months, well, she got pregnant at 17, and then I was born, like, a month after her 18th birthday.
Yes.
So, and then she's been stuck with me since these past 24 years.
Yeah.
And then later on, she had my brother, Gabriel.
6 years later.
6 years later. And so she rates two pains in the asses. Mm-hmm.
No, I knew what contraceptive was, and I knew I could get pregnant. I think it was hard for me. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't consistent taking it, and I don't know. Maybe I did think in a way that it really wouldn't happen to me. But you know what I mean?
Well,
I knew.
Needless to say, it taught me a lesson, and I don't have any kids. Yeah, so
which I
you're thank, welcome.
I thank God. I really, really do that you guys are waiting to have children. But one plus side about having children young, you grow up with them. When people would ask me, oh, is this your son? Nope. This is my sidekick. Nathan, and that was your nickname for many years until I had Gabriel.
And then he ruined everything.
And
I was the favorite of everything. And then this one came along, and now he's grandma's favorite.
You know, and I think looking back, I'm 42 now. And I'm still young enough where I'm able to move. If I had you guys older, it would be a lot different. If you guys decide to have kids, I'll still be young enough to enjoy them and be able to run with them and play with them and not having to just sit there and
hold them.
Yeah, without actually being present.
Well, my plan when I have kids is you raise them because did that with grandma, kind of.
Well,
so.
I had to.
Well, you had to, but I just feel like it's fair. It'll come full cycle. My kids will do it with me.
Nope, your kids are not going to call me grandma or...
They're going to call you nanny.
No!
Yeah, they're going to call you nanny.
Nope.
Or nana.
I'll be like, who's this? I'll be like, this is my nana. Nope.
And then when they're going to go to her, they're going to be like, sup, bitch? Just kidding.
No. Anything, but yeah, I don't...
And so going from there, what were your hopes and dreams before you had children? Like, what did you want to be? Or did you always think you were going to be a mother? Is that something you've always wanted?
No, I didn't originally want to have kids growing up. I grew up in a household that we were very poor. And my mom at times was physically, emotional, abusive to us, and I understand it now. It's no excuse because I don't condone abuse or anything, but it's just she couldn't handle the stress of being a single mom herself, raising four kids, and you know, two of my siblings gave her some heck, and so we were products of that, and so we were sometimes beaten way more than what the punishment was worth. And I didn't want that for my children. And another thing is that I was scared to bring children into this world, because this is not a kind world, and I didn't want to raise children in this world. But unfortunately, God had other plans, and I wouldn't have changed it. You know, I wouldn't have.
So then what were you planning? Like, were you going to be like a doctor, a lawyer?
Oh, no. I was going to be a pimp.
A pimp?
No, just kidding. Nah, just kidding.
Like, I was just going to start stripping. It's fine.
Yeah. No. I did have plans. I was wanting to be the first person to get a degree in the family, and go to college. I was looking at business management, accounting. I'm good with numbers. I was planning on doing all that, but unfortunately, my priorities changed, and my priorities became you and your brother. Well, mainly you, because you were the first one, but, you know.
Right.
But, yeah. But that was my plan.
Well, now that we're older, and Gabriel's going to be 18, and mm-hmm. going to be getting a job, and going to be able to fend from himself, do you think those dreams are more attainable now than they were before?
They could be. I don't know if I have the drive anymore. I know when I did plan to go back to college, and I was going back to college, and I did a semester. But unfortunately, of course, life gets involved, and Gabriel's dad had passed away, and Gabriel had a little breakdown himself, which is understandable, and I had to quit school to make sure your brother was taken care of and okay, and I figured that I would go back once he's stable, and he is stable, but I haven't gone back.
So, going through all of this, basically, like, you know, having two kids mm-hmm. at very young age, you had Gabriel, like, what, at 20? How old were you when you had Gabriel?
I think I was 24, 25.
So, literally, by my age now, you had two kids. You were working two jobs. You were supporting us the best you could. What would be your advice for teenagers or people just finding themselves in the situation of being a single parent?
It's not easy. I'm going to tell you this. Those shows on TV, Teen Mom, whatever, it shows some of the heartache, but I think it shows, like, it kind of misleading, I think.
Like, it glorifies getting pregnant.
Well, it doesn't really glorify, because, you know, some of the girls, they're driving these nice cars, they have their apartments, and they have, you know, their makeup and stuff, their kids are well taken care of. It's because they don't realize they're getting paid to do the show, and so that's not reality. Is that sometimes you have to feed your kids before you even feed yourself and even go to bed hungry, you know what I mean? Or whatever, you have to wait until they finish eating, and once they're done eating, if there's anything left over on their plate, then yeah, you can eat it. But you make sure your kids are taken care of first. And, you know, it's heartbreaking too, because, you know, you see these young girls. And I don't know if it's because of society changing or the lack of empathy for their own children, that children are left to fend for themselves. And because they're too busy partying, you see them taking selfies, you know, you see it all over media kind of thing, where these children nowadays are, you know, left to care for themselves. And I think my biggest advice is to put your kids first. It's not easy. There's sacrifice. And, you know, it's not to say that, you know, you can sacrifice and sacrifice for your kids and your kids are going to appreciate it. Because I work now in a area where I work with the elderly, and a lot of my elderly, their children don't even come visit them. And I think they won't even call them or bother to help them go pay their bills or go take them. And you can sacrifice and sacrifice, and it doesn't mean that your children are still going to help you out when they're old and when you're old and all that, because it doesn't always happen. And I think because, like, they have their own lives and all that. So, just what I would do would just, despite anything, just make sure your kids are taken care of. Just make sure that they're well loved as best as you possibly could. Nobody's perfect. You're gonna make mistakes, you know. Just try the best you can, you know what I mean? And a lot of it is self-sacrificing. You have to make that decision to self-sacrifice. You know what I mean? Yourself for your children. And that, I think, a lot of times it's the hardest thing to do, being a single mom, is to sacrifice yourself, your needs and your wants for your children.
So now, seeing the outcome of your two children, you know, granted, I think you did a hella good job in raising us. Would you change your parenting style any different? Like, do you think you'd be a little bit more stricter or a little bit more lenient? Because, you know, I mean, for my viewers know that for the most part, we were raised in church and everything like that, but like seeing the outcome of like our cousins and stuff, of like how involved they are in drugs and gangs and stuff and all that. Like, do you think there's like, would you change anything about your parenting style?
No, because if you think about it, I know I've lost it a couple of times. That's reasonable. But I think my biggest thing to raise you guys is to have that open communication and to listen to your needs. You know what I mean? Like, when you guys came home, to make it a point, when you guys came home, be like, always asked, how was your day? You know what I mean? Always asked, hey, how's it going? You know, always giving that word of encouragement kind of thing. I know sometimes, right, when you guys dumb piss me off and shit, you know, sometimes it's hard, but I think I try to stay positive in your guys' life, and then, you know, talk to you. I don't think I ever talked to you guys like children. Even when you guys were little, we had conversations with you. I always, I don't think I ever baby talked to you guys, you know what I mean, or sugarcoated anything. I try to be as honest and real as I possibly could with you guys, but also giving you the loving and support that I felt you guys needed. You know what I mean? Because we didn't grow up in a household where affection, I think, wasn't available. It was available. My mom was affectionate. But I think I just wanted to make sure that, you know, my mom didn't go to a lot. Because I was quote unquote the good child, she never went to any of my open houses, any of my school events or anything like that. And I always asked her. One time I asked her, she would always go to Matthew's and Noah's and Anna's and anything, but it seemed like she never went to mine. And one day I remember asking her, she's all, what for? Because you're the good child. And I think my sister and my brother were in special ed. She had to attend those because it was like
mandatory
pretty much. And then Noah was a bit of a troublemaker, so that's why she had to end up with them. And I was quote unquote the good child. So I didn't think that was right. I didn't think that was fair. Because I don't know if I felt like I wasn't praised for doing good. Right. You know, I just remember, I would wash the dishes, and be like, look, Mom, I washed the dishes for you. Oh, she's all, but you didn't clean this and you didn't clean that. And it was like, okay, but you know, she never even said thank you for
the dishes.
So I didn't want to be that parent. I didn't want to always be negative Nelly. Sorry if your name's Nelly. But I never wanted to be that negative mom. I wanted to be your friend, but at the same time, there's also a fine line, because I will also regulate when you all are acting stupid.
Oh yeah, no, that's for sure. Like my mom, the one thing I can appreciate about my mom through everything, especially as like going as an adult, like my mom's never been afraid to like tell it. Her kids don't have any filters. My mom doesn't have a filter. Like, so it, well, my whole family doesn't have a filter. We're a little smarter than the rest of the family, I will say, on what we say, I guess, or how we say things.
We're just smart, Alec-y. We're quick to come up with some shit.
Yeah, that's true. Like, sarcasm runs deep.
Hilariously sarcastic. You know what I mean? We're not that cruel sarcasm. We're hilarious.
I don't know. I think when a 10-year-old walks up to their mom in Walmart and be like, hey, Mom, can you buy me this toy? And then your reaction of, when I find that bitch, I'm a fucking slapper, is pretty traumatic. I think that's a little cruel, Mom.
No, it was hilarious. Because people were like, what the heck? I was like, yep. When I find your mother, I'll make sure to let her know. But once I do, I will slap the shit out of her.
But I don't know, like, you've always been, one thing I can say is you've always been my rock, like, especially, like, when I have my episodes of, like, well, I have a temper, mm-hmm. As we all know and do, or whatever, but, like, in those moments, I can literally call you up and be like, Mom, like, I just did this, I said this, I went ahead and, like, did all this, and then you'd be like, not necessarily, I don't want to see, and you probably are disappointed, but you don't seem disappointed. Like, you're more of just like, well, you need to work on your temper. You need to, like, pull your shit together. We're stronger than this. We're better than this, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like, I could come to you with the stupidest things, and there's hardly any judgment. You right. judge me for eating out a lot.
Well, it's not judgment. It's just because I want you to be better. You know what right. I mean? Normally, I'm not the type of person to judge anybody, because I know I was judged, and I know what it is to be judged. The whole growing up, to my family, I was always considered the fat one. And times have changed, let me tell ya. I'm no longer the fat one in the family. How ironic. But I think growing up, feeling always being compared to your siblings, looks and all that, it's really, and then it's not only that, my looks and anything, and then what else was I gonna say? Sorry, my phone just went off. My neighbor's calling me
to borrow some sugar.
I don't know, we'll see. What else was... Oh, I lost my train of thought. What were you talking about?
I don't even remember.
Huh? Sugar?
Was it being judged and...
Being judged and... Oh, it's not that I'm disappointed. That's what we were talking about. It's not that I'm disappointed. It's just... Oh, that I'm not the type of person that judges people. You know what I mean? I think everybody has a backstory, and you don't know what their life is like or what they've been through until you walk in their shoes, and you cannot determine. And just like everybody, I think everybody deep down has a good heart for the most part, and they're just trying to get through life just like everybody else as best that they can with whatever things. And that's the way I kind of see it. I kind of try to see all sides of the story before I judge. But let me tell you,
doesn't always work out that way.
It doesn't always work out because there are times that you're like, motherfucker, this is crazy. But yeah, but I do try to do that, to not judge.
Well, needless to say, obviously, like, I remember times where, like, specifically where, one time we were driving, it was around Christmas time, and you were super upset, and you were just like, she was just like, you're like, we're not gonna have a Christmas, and I was like, but that's fine, like, that's okay, and then I remember you broke down crying, and you were just like, oh, you have such a big heart, and I was just like, can I go to sleep now? Like, I was just like, I just remember being tired, but it's just like, I've seen, like, I guess when I was younger, I guess I knew somewhat that there was a sacrifice to being a single parent, but now that I get older, I didn't realize as to what extent that sacrifice was until, like, now that I am an adult and have to pay my own bills and have to feed myself and clothe myself and everything like that. Like, it's just like, it's made me more appreciative of everything that we've gone through, or everything that, like, that has happened, because at the end of the day, like, it may not have been perfect, but we were able to get around town, we had a roof over our head, we had clothes on our back and food.
Yeah, Miguel never had to ride around in a jalopy what he's driving around right now. His trunk even close.
Well, now my door doesn't close.
It doesn't even close. The bumpers are not even on the car.
I mean, you get what you pay for. I only paid $500 for that
thing. I know, but see,
I love Frankenstein, all right? Frankenstein.
It doesn't matter. You never had to drive around when you were like that with me. You were well taken care of.
True. We always had AC. Yeah. And now I don't have AC in it. Well, mostly because my AC works. I just need to add that Freon. But needless to say, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done as a mother, for the things I've seen and for the things I haven't seen, the things I don't know. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I'm just appreciative of the fact that, like, you were basically so open with us. Like, you were always just like, I mean, we didn't even really need to have the sex talk because you were always just talking about, like, just, like, you know, whatever. And it's just, like, you have so much faith and so much trust in your children. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, like, I see other people and their relationships with their parents, and I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, oh, just kidding.
Well, yeah, I guess, and I didn't realize how open I was with you until that one time your friend started her menstrual cycle at work, and you're like, oh, what do you need? You know what I mean? Like, do you need pads or Kotex? You know, do you need to go buy them for you? And I'm looking at you like, what the hell? And I was all like, I didn't even realize you knew about any of that stuff. But you were mentioning this, and you were like, yeah, you know, my mom, you know, I was raised by a single mom. Like, I remember that aisle, you know, like, and it was just funny. It's hilarious. But you know what I mean? I always told you, you know what I mean? Whoever you marry better appreciate you, because, you know, if you can go down and go get her some Kotex or some pads without any embarrassment, you know, I think that's pretty awesome.
Because, you that's know, why I'm going to marry a dude. Just kidding.
Anything, but it's just those simple acts of kindness that you can give to somebody else. I'm glad I was able to extend that to you and your brother, because even your brother too does
it. Well, and then you also, I see how frustrated you get with us sometimes, because you raised us to question everything. Like, you were just like, question everything. Like, don't, like, everything is not what it seems, kind of thing. And then, like, you, and, like, also, but, like, you don't like us talking. Well, not that we talk back, I would say. I don't think me and Gabriel ever really talk back to you. Mm-hmm. But, like, you don't like it when we question you. Like, where your boyfriend at? Oh. Like, okay, guys.
Your damn business. It's because I always kept that.
It is. If I was dating somebody, you would grill me. You would give me was it 10 degrees? But
see, that's the thing is just I try to keep that part away from you guys because I didn't want you guys, I wanted to keep you guys safe, and that part was separate. So when mom went out and she needed time away, you know, yes, I would go out and party sometimes, you know what I mean? And your grandma took care of you while I went out. You know, you didn't see any of that stuff. And then the guys that I did date, I never lived with anybody or...
Right. Thank God.
Anybody never...
Mostly because you're too controlling.
No, it's not that. I just, you know, you just never know. You never know who you bring into your house.
True.
How they're going to treat your children. And
so I have one final question. And to, because this has been a pretty serious, heavy conversation. So on a lighter note, why did you decide to name your children Mexican ass names and not teach them Spanish? What compelled you? Because Gabriel's name isn't even Gabriel. How do you say Gabriel's name in Spanish, Mom?
Gabriel.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I literally can't even see my brother's name.
That's technically your grandma's fault. Because I was going to name you Michael Angel. So right. You were going to have American names. Your name was going to be Michael Angel. But because at the time, your tia was dating somebody, Mike, and your grandma beat him up and broke his hands, they called him Mike for short. And for whatever reason, she was like, oh, no. And so instead of naming you Michael, I named you Miguel. So I still got my name that I wanted to name you, Miguel Angel.
But then why didn't you just name Gabriel?
His name's Gabriel. It's Gabriel in Spanish. You just couldn't pronounce it.
You used to make fun of me so hard because I couldn't pronounce Gabriel's name. But the crazy part is Gabriel's name's more Mexican than mine because he has like four names.
Yeah, and I think, but the thing is...
And your name's not really Mexican either, besides your last name.
But that was your grandma's, you know what I mean? It's a name, you know what I mean? It's a name. And I'm sorry I didn't...
Well, from now on, I'm going to go by Megatron. And
and the fact is that your dads were Mexicans. Your dad was either from Durango or Delicias. I can't even remember.
I thought you said Delicias.
Delicias or whatever. And Gabriel's dad was from Juarez. So... You know what I mean? They should have had a part in raising you too, but they chose
not. Well, Gabriel's dad kind of did.
Yeah. 4 years, yeah.
And then, I don't know, my dad was just MIA. But...
Pretty much.
Alrighty, well, thank you for doing this with me, Mom.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. I love you. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for listening.